Good afternoon. Psalm chapter 130. Psalms 130, verses 1 through 6 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, be attentive, and O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning." We use this term, waiting on the Lord, very frequently. There's a lot of songs, in fact, that come to mind when we think of the idea of waiting on God or waiting for the Lord. And it's a concept that I want to talk about tonight. I want us to consider what it means to truly wait for the Lord and how we are waiting for God. Because when you say this term, when you say, "Oh, I'm waiting for the Lord," it kind of conjures up the tongue-in-cheek adage of "hurry up and wait," right? It sounds kind of odd to say, "Well, I'm waiting for the Lord." And it's something that it can seem a little odd to say that, because it sounds like we're saying to just hurry up and wait. But I think the idea and the way that we approach waiting for God is very important in our lives as Christians. Because I believe, just like the psalmist, we should be waiting for the Lord. But I think also there is a very specific way to be waiting for the Lord, to be waiting for God. And there's a lot of ways to be waiting on God incorrectly. And I'm sure all of us would say that we are waiting for the Lord. We're waiting for Jesus. We're waiting for God. But how are you waiting for God? Let's start in John chapter 8. We've been studying this a lot in the adult class, and it's really the passage that kind of piqued my interest in this topic. Let's read in John chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 31 of John 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father. You do what you have heard from your father." They answered Him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did." When we think about the Jews, and we think about this idea of waiting on God, there's probably no other group of people who could talk more about waiting on the Lord. For hundreds of years, the Jews had been studying and been given prophecies and texts from God about how they were to wait for the Savior. And generation after generation of Jews did not see the Savior. They were prophesied that He would come, and they did not see Him. They waited for so long. But what we see in John chapter 8 is that the great issue with the Jews and with the Pharisees is that they waited for God with complacency. And what I mean by that is the Jews were waiting and they thought they had it all figured out. They had heard the prophecies and they said, "We're children of Abraham. We got it. We're done. We just need to wait for the Son to come back. We're Abraham's children. We have the law. That's all we got to do. And then God's going to come back and it's going to be great for us." The Jews believed that because of their lineage and their position, they had merely to sit back and wait for God to come and reward them for their status in life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1 really quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read verses 28 through 33. They will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. We often like to mock the Pharisees for the way they approached the law and serving God so hypocritically. But I think it can be so very easy to repeat this error in our own lives. Most of us in this room are Christians. We have been baptized and committed our lives to follow God. We have become His children. And that is the most important decision anyone can make in their life. But how have you waited for God following that decision? This is something that Jesus spoke of very often. And we often go back to Matthew 25. I like to turn there very quickly. Where it talks about how Jesus has entrusted us with much, and He expects much from us. In Matthew chapter 25, we'll start in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. He has allowed us to be made children of God. He has entrusted us with great treasures, with 5 or 2 or 1 talents. He has given this to us, and He said, I'm going to be coming back. I will come back at some point. Let's continue reading in verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents here. I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. When you are confronted with the need for change in your life as a Christian, when you are confronted with your own sin or with a path to make your faith stronger, to change yourself for the better, to make use of the talents that God has blessed you with, to make use of God's blessings, do you do as the 2 servants with 5 and 2 talents and say, you know what, I'm going to use this opportunity to better myself. so that when God comes back, He will see that I have used what He has given me? Or do you say, I'm a Christian. I go to the Church of Christ. I've done what I need to do. Because when God comes back, when He finds us waiting, are we going to say, well, God, You made me a Christian, so I stayed a Christian. I didn't convert to another religion. That's all I did. That's not enough. Are you waiting with complacency, thinking that your work, it's already done? Before we leave this point, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read verses 50 through 58. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Don't wait with complacency. Don't think that your work is already done just because you go to church on Sunday and you've been baptized. Be waiting in such a way that when God comes back, He will see that you have multiplied what He has given you. The next way I want us to look at is, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I promise I'm not copying you, Garen. There will be a little overlap in this point. But 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. In waiting for God, are you waiting to fix your own problems? And what I mean by that is, do you have the I'll get to it one day attitude as a Christian? Where you recognize sin. You recognize the issues in your life. Maybe you're not quite complacent. You know that there's work to be done. You know that you have to change. But not yet. Tomorrow, I'll start working on that problem. I know I really need to get better about this, and I see it. I see it every day. It's just dragging me down, but today doesn't work for me. Let's go tomorrow. Let's start working on that tomorrow, God. For some people, this manifests in really extreme ways. I won't get baptized till right before I die, so that clean slate, just go right on into heaven. My grandpa was one of those people. And most of us, like I said in this room, we've been baptized. But how often do you see wrong in your life and see an issue that needs to be changed, a part of your life that isn't making you better, it's bringing you further from God, and say, I'll just have to work on that some other time. Because it's easy to recognize sin. I think we can all, if I asked every single person, what's something you could improve? We all have something. We should all have something we can point out. And it's easy to see the need for that change. And the easiest thing of all to do is say, well, I'm going to get to it before God comes. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm just waiting for the right time to get to it. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, and we'll just look at verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. I think sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of it at points, we get into this idea where we can just delay something till the right time, and then we'll kind of cash in that forgiveness and be in a forgiven state for a while, so that if we can just plan it all just right, you know, maybe when God comes back, then I'll be forgiven because I'll have done it all at the right time. But God knows your heart. He knows our soul and our intent. And what He wants is people whose intent is to do His will. And the instant they recognize sin, to repent and to change. If you're waiting for the right time to change your life, then you're never going to find it. Because the right time is right now. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we'll read verses 29 through 31. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like silver or gold or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. God commands that all men everywhere repent now. Not tomorrow, and not when the time is right. That's not how we wait on the Lord. What we need to do is to wait patiently to present ourselves as a holy offering to God. Turn with me to Jude. We'll read Jude verses 17 through 25. 17 through 25 of Jude. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by sin. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. True children understand that the waiting we do for God is an active, purposeful thing. When we sing and we pray about waiting on the Lord, we don't intend to live a life of passivity. We don't think that our work is done, and we don't think And we don't wait for a more convenient time, excuse me. We work while we wait so that when God finds us, He can present us to God. In Luke chapter 18, if you'll turn with me there. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. This is Jesus. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while He refused, but afterward He said to Himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth?'" God has given us this time on earth. Just like we read in Matthew chapter 25, He's given us this time, He's given us a relationship with Him so that we can use it to serve Him, so that we can increase our faith and the faith of those around us and bring more strangers into the fold of Christ. So wait for God. Wait for the Lord by building up your faith and your knowledge, and diligently studying and performing His works. But don't wait complacently. Don't think that your work here is finished. Don't think that you've done everything you need to do. Don't say to yourself, "I'll fix everything another day. I'll become a Christian another day." Because God demands that you repent right now. That you join the brothers and sisters in Christ in waiting on Him faithfully, so that we might all one day spend eternity with Him. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and you need to make that commitment, then I urge you to stop waiting to make that commitment. Become a child of God. But if you are a Christian and you've recognized that you've been spending your time not in the way God has intended you to spend it, you haven't been using it to grow stronger in the faith, learn more of His Word, haven't been teaching others, well then come forward and request the prayers and we'll pray with you and talk with you while we stand, while we sing.